Insights and Ignition isn't your average podcast. Yes, I heard that sigh, and yes, I felt that eye roll. It was born from the wreckage of tired strategies and the hollow thought leadership that we have been experiencing for years as a marketing agency. And I decided to create this. And this is where ideas are stripped to the bone. And we rebuild them in fire. We're going to dissect the trends that others are blindly following. We are going to weaponize true clarity. And we're going to speak those hard truths that make boardrooms squirm. Every episode of Insights and Ignition is a spark. It's the raw takes, it's the brutal insights, and the reflections dragged straight from the creative trenches. This isn't made for everybody. It's not supposed to be. There's no comfort, no compromise, just ignition of marketing to truly make you, the brands you work with, your clients, your communities, truly memorable. It's time that we stepped into the future and into the furnace. It's time that we left changed. In today's glorious episode, I'm going to be talking to you about why you should kill your darlings. So welcome back. Welcome back to this episode of Insights and Ignition. And today, we are talking about something pretty uncomfortable. Something that will probably challenge your ego, shake your habits, and, if you let it, completely transform your marketing. The idea is simple, but the execution can be brutal. And it is. It is all about killing your darlings. So let's get into it. The origin of Kill Your Darling actually comes from the world of writing. And writers, especially the good ones, are often told that, you know, that brilliant line that you love, that scene that you slaved over, that paragraph that made you tear up at 2 a.m., yeah, cut it. If it doesn't serve the bigger story, it goes. We kill it. We remove it. We stop it from hindering us to move forward. Why? Because good storytelling is ruthless. It serves the reader, not the writer's feelings. Now, stay with me, and I want you to swap reader for audience and story for strategy. And suddenly we're talking about marketing. Because whether you're a copywriter, a designer, a strategist, or a CMO, you've got darlings too. You know, those ideas that you have nurtured, those campaigns that you have championed, slides you have presented with pride. But I have a hard, brutal truth for you. Just because you love it doesn't mean it works. So what does a darling look like in marketing? I can give you a few examples to get you going. So you built that campaign. It had everything. A custom strategy deck, video assets, paid media rollout, cross-channel alignment. It was glorious. You and your team worked overtime. Launch day comes. It rolls around on that calendar. You hit go, and then crickets. No engagement, no conversions, no traction. You're truly baffled. And that, like, you're baffled because internally it was a masterpiece, but externally it didn't move anyone. It didn't ignite any sort of action. That, my dear, that is a darling. Or maybe it's that slogan that your CEO loves. It's been around forever. It is poetic. It's clever. It's on brand. But you ask 10 real customers outside of your internal bubble what it truly means. 8 are confused. 2 will ask if it's from a movie or a Hallmark card. That, my dear, is a darling. What about that beautifully crafted newsletter that hits inboxes every Thursday at 9 a.m.? It's consistent. It's designed. It's also pretty ignored. Open rates are flat. Clicks are low. Nobody is forwarding it. Nobody is sharing it. Still, it lives on. But why? Well, because that's just what we have always done. That, my dear, that again is a darling. Maybe it's the look and feel of your brand. I know, hot take, right? You've been using the same visual language since 2021. It's sleek, it's polished, it's you. But in the TikTok speed scroll world of today, it barely registers. It fades into the noise. That, again, is a darling. So here's the pattern. Here is what you need to start to recognize. Your darlings are the work that you are emotionally attached to, even when the data tells you it's a dead weight. And if you want to win in today's digital, very noisy kind of world, you've got to be brave enough to let them go. I want to take a second and hold your hand and acknowledge something here. This is not easy. We are talking about cutting things that took time, energy, collaboration, budget, and maybe even a little blood, sweat, and tears, and those many late nights. But marketing isn't therapy. It is ignition, and ignition needs fuel, not friction. And you can't afford to carry things that are not pulling their weight. You can't afford to optimize for internal applause while external attention slips through your fingers. Which brings me to the most important truth in this entire conversation that we are having today, and that is that you are not your audience. Let me say that again. You are not your audience. You live inside the brand. You know the product roadmap. You've been in every meeting, every strategy session, every draft review. But you know your audience have never seen your campaign doc. They don't care how hard you worked on that CTA. They're not here to interpret subtle metaphors or appreciate the nuance of your brand architecture. Our consumers, clients, and audiences, they're just trying to get through their day. They are busy, overstimulated, and distracted. And they're one bad experience away from closing that tab and forgetting you exist. So no, they're not in your head. They're not understanding your vibe. They are scanning for value and fast. So what is our actual job? It is to be clever, be relevant, be useful, or be ignored. So I want to make this kind of actionable for you to kind of try and move forward with. So the first thing I want you to do is to run an audience alignment check on what you are creating and what you are kind of considering to be one of your darlings. Pick one live piece of content. Could be an ad, could be a landing page, a video, an email. I do not care. Choose one. Now run it through this filter. Would a total stranger understand what this is within 5 seconds? Does it lead with real value, or is it just something that we think is cool? We think sounds cool. We spent a lot of time on it. If I didn't work here or I didn't create this brand, would I care? If the answer to any of those is no, it's not ready. Strip it down, get back to the point, translate it out of brand speak, and get back into real human language. Because clarity isn't just kind, it's actually profitable. So once you've done that, I kind of want you to level up and move forward and take it up a notch, really. And I want you to get ruthless. And ruthless marketing isn't about being cold. It's actually about being honest. It's about being willing to say, if we weren't already doing this, would we do it now? If not, why are we still doing it? So let's consider some examples. Let's look at something like a brand film. It's beautiful. It's emotional. It's long. But 89% don't even click play. Your watch time is less than 14 seconds. So what can we do? How can we kill this darling? And what we could do is, instead of scrapping it and throwing it out the window, we could cut it down, create 3 to 5 second hooks, make them mobile first, test motion versus static, lead with value, not expectation. And don't cling onto that long brand film that you spent money on. That money has gone. You can now make the decision on how you're actually going to use this piece of content to truly make a difference within your organization. What about that clever tagline? Everybody loves it internally, investors. Your audience doesn't get it. Realistically, you need to replace it. Say what you do loud, clear, immediate, no riddles, no metaphors. If it needs explaining, it's already failed. So kill the darling, kill the tagline, and let's actually create something people understand. What about that newsletter that truly won't die? We need to kind of consider the balance between routine, consistency, and relevance here. If your open rates are flat, your click rates are flat, we need to replace it. Do we kill this darling by replacing it with behavior-triggered emails that are personalized, timely, actionable? Do we change up the overall newsletter? What is something we can do that will truly allow us to get relevance and use out of this marketing process? Or is it time to stop sending it? What about that channel that's a true ghost town? You know, the one where you post every day, no one sees it, no one clicks. And you get told, well, we're posting on all the other channels, why not this one? Why don't you do something like run a 90-day audit to kill this darling? Double down where attention lives, not where people once were. That is something that organizations fail to do all the time. What about that pretty landing page? Yeah, you know, the one that has the beautiful design, but actually has low conversions and a high bounce? Strip it back. Kill this darling by stripping it back. Lead with urgency. Use real world words. Create social proof. Put it above the fold. You know, all of those things that we know we need to be doing. And also create a CTA that can't be missed. At Everburn, we have one rule. Everything in the funnel fights for its place. And what I mean by that is, if that piece of content is not serving a purpose by pushing somebody into the next decision or aspect of our sales funnel, it is not safe. Not even the flashy stuff or the legacy stuff, especially not the stuff that is just deemed fine. So our next kind of move is to build that kill list. Inventory everything that you're doing, every campaign, email, landing page, ad set, and channel. Ask the kill question. If we weren't already doing this, would we start now? Minimally aim to cut 20% of it. Replace it with tests. high feedback experiments, push them live, quickly watch the numbers and then double down on what works. Because great marketing isn't about doing more, it's about doing less much better. So my final word, my final gospel to leave you with at the end of this session today is to kill your darlings. It is not just advice, it's actually a discipline. It's a true mindset shift. It's a permission slip from me to you to stop clinging to work that no longer serves your audience. Because when you stop defending what's broken, you actually start building what performs. When you burn what's safe, you clear the path for what is truly useful and purposeful. And when you stop clinging to your darlings, you actually make space for results. So look at your pipeline, your strategy, your content, and start burning. Burn the fluff, burn the ego, and definitely burn your darlings. And then watch what happens when the only thing left is actually what works for your organization.